This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. Tomorrow on Talk of the Nation, the food industry is under pressure to give Americans healthier food choices. But does fruit in a Happy Meal go far enough? The food industry shapes up. Next Talk of the Nation. Right now, we turn to the situation in Iraq. Another U.S. soldier was killed in Baghdad early this morning, according to U.S. Central Command. Six others were injured when rocket-propelled grenades were fired at a military convoy. The attack comes a day after Secretary of State Donald Rumsfeld warned of a possible increase in attacks against U.S. forces in Iraq. But while the almost daily loss of American life in Iraq is predictable now, it was not what Pentagon planners expected before the war began. In an article published in Knight Ridder newspapers over the weekend, reporter Jonathan Landate writes that Pentagon civilians ignored advice to plan for the type of violence and disorder that we're seeing today. Jonathan Landate joins us now. He's the national security correspondent for Knight Ridder newspapers. Thanks for being with us, Jonathan.
My pleasure.
In your piece this weekend, you wrote that a small circle of Pentagon civilians firmly believed that U.S. troops would be welcomed in Iraq with open arms. And I quote here, the Pentagon civilians ignored State Department and CIA experts who disputed them. Now, who are we talking about? Who are the Pentagon civilians, and what didn't they want to hear?
This was a group of Pentagon civilians who were put together specifically to plan policy on Iraq. It's an office called the Office of Special Plans, located in the office of the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy. It's a very large shop. The policy shop is a very large shop, but this was a very small circle of committed hardliners who were isolated from the rest of the country desks and analysts in the policy shop, other parts of the policy shop. And these are the people who put together, or were supposed to put together, the plans for pre-war stability and political reconstruction and economic reconstruction in Iraq.
Now, what were they rejecting? What was the information that they were just not listening to?
According to numerous sources who we talked to, they went through the motions of intergovernmental consultations and planning. This is a process called the interagency process. But what they took away from that process was basically nothing, is what we were told. We were told that in this process it was basically disputes between them and the State Department and CIA and other parts of the policy community, and that on their own they plotted their own plans for post-war Iraq. In doing so, they accepted a view, as we were told, that Iraqis would welcome American troops with open arms, that there would be an uprising, parts of the army would defect, that there would be a oppositionists who would come up from underground, and that by putting a particular Iraqi opposition leader in charge, this kind of underground movement, plus the welcome for American troops, plus the presence of American troops, would ensure that there would be stability in post-war Iraq.
And the effect of this, in terms of the planning for what would happen in Iraq, the post-war planning?
It's our understanding, based on interviews with more than a dozen sources, some of whom are fairly senior officials and former officials, is that there was no plan B, that there was only plan A, which was to basically ensure that Ahmad Chalabi of the Iraqi National Congress, a umbrella organization of Iraqi groups, would take charge, would be put in charge in post-Saddam Iraq, and that essentially the idea was, if you take off, all that needed to happen was to have the top layers of the Saddam regime removed. There was Saddam and other people in a very senior level, and that this new leadership would be imposed on the top and then would simply take over the reins of government. And, of course, that's not what happened.
Now, the picture you paint of the post-war planning that went on is a picture that excludes anyone who didn't agree with this small circle at the Pentagon. How unusual is that?
The fact is that, as we point out in the piece, During the years before the end of World War II, there was considerable intensive planning, both here in the United States and Britain, to put together detailed blueprints for how to administer and rebuild both economically and politically post-war Germany and Japan, designing everything from how to rebuild the governments to law enforcement and and bring back democracy. And there was this effort going on here in the United States. There was a project being run at the State Department called the Future of Iraq Project, in which 17 different parts of the American government, 17 different agencies were involved with dozens of Iraqi exiles, a lot of independents, independent Iraqi exiles, people who were also aligned with different opposition parties, who were looking at putting together plans for everything from economic reconstruction to putting in place a new justice system to even restoring the marshes, the southern marshes in southern Iraq that were drained by Saddam, because this was a base for this was where a lot of Shiite oppositionists were hiding out. And yet we were told that all of the work, virtually all of the work of this project was ignored by the Pentagon planners. And hence, now if you look and see what's going on in Iraq, they had had to start this planning process from the ground floor, right from the start. There's no evidence that anything that was done by this group was put into effect after the end of the war.
All right. Thanks for joining us today, Jonathan.
My pleasure.
Jonathan Lende is national security correspondent for Knight Ridder Newspapers.